I was done with being told that my body was not right enough, good enough, too powerful for a relationship with a man, that I had to conform, contort through my culture. And when I found out about full-figured modeling, I was like, why not?
Welcome to Zestful Aging, where I speak with changemakers from all over the world, from every walk of life, who will inspire you to live with zest. I'm your host, Nicole Christina, and my mission is to bring you optimism about aging and help you make full use of the new opportunities that only come at this stage of life. To find out more about this podcast, hop on over to zestfulaging.com. And while you're there, sign up for my email newsletter, The Insider, where you will get fun and quirky tidbits about the show and my exploits, including when I went python hunting in the Everglades with one of my guests. And if you love the podcast, I'd be grateful if you shared it with your friends. And check out my new YouTube channel, where you will find never-before-heard bonus episodes at Zestful Aging 132. Known for over two decades as an iconic American supermodel and a two-time beautiful person by People magazine, MA is a trusted voice in the beauty, wellness, fashion, and news industries. And although she's known as the first plus-size model, that term has fallen into disfavor because the reality is that MA's size is more in line with the average American woman's. Her mission is to dismantle the unrealistic beauty ideals that have caused so much harm for women and girls. A tireless advocate for body acceptance and body positivity, her mission is, quote, to feel free in our bodies and live our most inspired lives. Welcome to the show, Emmy.
Thank you so much, Nicole. What a treat. What a treat.
Oh, I'm so glad that we could connect. And as I told you off mic, you are a well-known presence in the Syracuse University area. And I know you have done so much visual performing arts, and we can get into that in a bit. But the first thing I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, your role as the woman who really pushed the boundaries on what a model could look like. Mm-hmm. And I think all of our listeners are familiar with your, you know, how you've really changed the industry. I'm curious, as a psychotherapist, how you had the fortitude to swim upstream. And, you know, we all know how harsh this industry is. And I guess I'd like to hear from you how you had the strength to stand up to what is a very toxic industry.
It's such a good question. I really appreciate it. So just to begin with, I know my journey as an athlete helped me connect with the positive aspects of what my body could do for me. And it could have been a hobby. It could have been something completely different. But because it was my vehicle, my body, that when I asked it to jump or leap or to throw or to swim or whatever it was, that there was some place in my life, whether, and there was stuff going on at home with dieting and judgment and restriction and overeating and then the society. And I lived in Saudi Arabia and that was different, but I had success with the body that I was given. Yes, I was a foot taller than most of my friends, which I never really realized when I was younger until, it's funny, we're very good friends now, the young ladies that I grew up with. And I go, gosh, you know, I always looked during PE class when everybody was getting weighed, and I hope that they've stopped that now, that I would body bash myself because I was more than everyone else. And I think my being athletic pushed everything aside. And when I went into the modeling industry, getting just having left Division I rowing and having great success there, I just said, why not go into this industry? I walked on a lunch break and walked in and said, I'm just going to try it. I think what else fueled me, Nicole, was I was done with being told that my body was not right enough, good enough, too powerful for a relationship with a man, that I had to conform, contort through my culture. And when I found out about full-figured modeling, I was like, why not? And I was already a marketing director for a real estate firm. I was doing very well there. And my journalistic background, I was an NBC affiliate reporter in Flagstaff, Arizona, at KNAZ-TV, and my training at Syracuse through Newhouse and VPA, I knew that there were two sides to the story. And it was very important that you present two sides of a story as a journalist. And when I came into the modeling industry, I knew that I was leaving my journalistic life behind because I crossed the line. Because there was a story that I landed myself into by no mistake. I just followed the crumbs. And I was supposed to be in the middle and inside, not on the outside reporting on it, but on the inside through the vehicle of modeling to reflect what was going on inside. And little did I know about the data points that we now know that 100 million women are a size 14 and above in this country and in Canada. And so the majority of women, I did not know that back in the 90s, but the majority of women, when I would go out on the road and promote my clothing lines and all the different department stores, or if I was doing a TV show and there was a meet and greet or whatever, a lot of the time I listened. And the fuel that I got from young kids, their mothers and their grandmothers and the men that loved them, and to add in the salt and pepper of the interesting stuff, more men who were leaders in different industries, I started finding were sharing their disordered eating and their bulimia. And I would never, and they, I think there was a trust because I wasn't talking about other people and what their stories were. I was talking about us on this journey. And I thought, this is incredible that all this is going on. We cannot find clothes above a size 12. Diet-related products are increasing in sales year after year after year. And it was impossible for me to turn away.
It's like, I hear a few things that are so fascinating. It's almost like as a journalist, you were doing an expose, but you were... It was also felt like as you were talking, it was some kind of calling. You were in the middle of that to do the work.
Something like that. And you don't plan this. You do not. You do not say you want to do what I've done and you say, that's how I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know, there's pain. There's joy. There's learning. There's struggle. There's resistance. There's tumultuousness. There's success that carries you through, and it's really leading your life, a passion-filled life, a life with meaning.
Had you always had that moxie as a young girl growing up? Because this takes some backbone. I don't care how smart you are or if you're a Newhouse grad or whatever. You were, it's like a David and Goliath story. And I'm so curious who Emmy was in as a girl in Saudi Arabia as an athlete. What was getting built?
It's such great questions. When I was little, my favorite inspiring T-shirt and cartoon was Charlie Brown. And my favorite character was Snoopy, because Snoopy was funny, giddy, always had the levity. And Charlie Brown kept on trying. And my favorite t-shirt I wore all the time, and it said, "You can try harder, comma, Charlie Brown." I wore that all the time. And, you know, I had to learn through lots of therapy that I am not here to change anyone. I am only here to have a more ease-filled life. And if anybody wants to hear how I'm achieving that, then awesome, great, yay, let's have fun. That was important, because when it was really at the pinnacle, there were so many women that were reaching out and so many people that really wanted to just get that quick pill. And I go, there's no quick pill here. It is an inner journey, and don't expect other people to change. You need to change. If you really want to ignite the fire, your own fire, and be, if you, you know, whatever size you're going to be, you've got to get to a place, not 10 pounds less, not 10 pounds more, but right here. That was where I was at. I was like, I've had enough with my society telling me that I have to be XYZ in order to get whatever I wanted to get. I think I just put my staff in the ground and said, let's rock here. Let's do this.
You got mad.
Yeah. I just didn't appreciate the beautiful, strong Division I, full scholarship, big ribbon winner. Well, how could you tell me my body wasn't right?
And how Olympic trials.
I was invited to Olympic trials. Yep. I chose to go into TV because I needed to take my next steps. And I, you know, sometimes you reflect on the things that you regret, but there are no regrets. It's just beautiful opportunities that, you know, help you fine tune your path. But I think it was the grit of what you were brought up with, the grit of the environment, both within the home with me and my mom, of my mom being my goddess. And when she would say things about her body, I would look at her like, who are you talking about? You know, I saw her as perfection, beautiful. Why are you saying that you hope that I don't get the thighs that you have? I am you. Like, ooh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So, I think that, and then also the marriage with my stepfather and his own eating disorders, and then going back into mainstream, and then being I was the Amazon, very well trained at Syracuse, incredible coaches, and then going into mainstream outside of the confines of the arena, and then having men say, "Well, you could pound me," and I'm like, "Why are you talking to me? I'm a beautiful gal. I just happen to be in shape. Like, why are you talking to me like you're intimidated?" I started realizing that it was intimidation. So and the Adonis, the man who is the athlete, the Adonis, is heralded and honored. But the woman who is strong and powerful is not quite placed in a feminine role, where I was very feminine yet very strong. So there was all this yummy deliciousness of contradictions.
I think about Serena Williams as an tennis player, and what she's endured.
Yes.
And some of the similar kinds of things is being so, at her height, nobody could beat her. Right? She was just such a specimen, but the commentary, the fear, the disdain.
Did it stop her?
Mm-hmm.
So you get to a place, and I relate to this analogy so much, because did it stop her? No. Because you get to the place where if you that are the vehicle of all this, you focus, and you focus on what is your passion, and you focus on what feels good and feels right. And if that is the only thing that you can focus on, everything else has to fall aside. And you're human. You have feelings, yes. But will you let them overtake you? And being a high level athlete like Serena, there was so much more to gain than listen to people who were not connected to themselves. Because those, obviously, as you know, those that are throwing stones are the ones that are hurting the most.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everyone. Have you listened to my interviews with Dr. Bill Rawls? He's been on the show twice, and after I read his book on cellular health and learned about his high standards for quality control, I was sold. I placed an order for Vital Plant supplements immediately. And I encourage you to learn about his work by hopping over to vitalplan.com. If you enter Zestful15, they will give you 15% off your first order. I'm excited for you to try these products. I think you're going to be very impressed. Now back to the show.
I'm curious because this show is Zestful Aging, and obviously you're not in your 20s anymore. I'm wondering what your experience has been like with ageism and, you know, how it might compare or not compare to some of the other discrimination you have been describing.
Well, I'm joyfully in my 60s. I just turned 60 June 30th. So I am bringing it in with full vitality and joy. And I'm marking off some beautiful legacy boxes and things and, you know, the bucket list items. And I just am like, my mom passed when I was 15. And that was such an impact in my life. And that too. So add that into my grit and grist, because I thought, well, if I don't do the things that I'm excited about or that I dream about or that I have opportunities and it comes to you and you say no, my mom got her life. She didn't get a chance to live a full life and see me with my child and see my child having a child. And I just, there's no... I think the age situation is very real. However, our generation is not like our mother's generation. We use our voices, and we're also coming together and doing more supportive work within the workplace, within the social settings. Now, with finding love, I am still looking for, I can't wait, I'm excited for my soulmate to be resonating in the same space of joy of life and the verve of newness and adventure. And I will not give that up. I am excited. I've had wonderful relationships that have gotten me to this place. And so even though some of the gentlemen that I meet and know that have left their wives for younger women, I would not be interested in somebody that doesn't own and honor for the sake of just going for someone that's younger because of the identity crisis or, you know, midlife crisis, who knows. But for someone who is available and wants to walk into the journey of our beautiful last quarter, like, with joy and fun and skipping and I want that. That is what I am looking to do. I will not acquiesce into this next chapter. It's just so too exciting. Life is too darn short too.
And you have, you know, and you're very public about your cancer diagnosis and your chemotherapy. So not only did your mom die when you were young, but you also had to come face to face with mortality.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's a game changer. That got me to meditate when I would poo-poo-poo it. And I got 10 books, you're going to laugh, of the Four Agreements. 10 books at different times. I go, I wonder, you know, why I'm getting all these Four Agreements. And And boy, did I need to sit my butt down, be quiet. Mm-hmm. And somebody gave me a little post-it with a meditation pillow and said, shut up and meditate. Oh. And it was a very dear friend. And I love, you know, when you have really good friends who are not only your cheerleaders, but also your truth speakers. You know, those are good friends. Yeah. And so I think that getting to a place of inner peace and alignment and not being so overly driven, I didn't need to do that anymore. And then get into that beautiful magic of manifestation and not thinking that you have to take the whole world on your shoulders. That's relieving. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I've been struck by is the women that I see in my practice who are 50s, 60s and up and are still saying, I need to lose this last 10 pounds. And my grandmother, until the day she died, this is a woman who had survived, you know, Poland, World War II, came over as an immigrant. And, you know, in her 80s, she didn't want to eat rye bread because of the carbs. And I guess, you know, I really wonder about this intersection of being older and still reaching for this body or this, you know, this goal that's going to make one's life feel successful. It's fascinating to me that at this age, and as you may know, because I know you're very active in this eating disorders prevention, there's a big uptick for postmenopausal women who now are having to get residential treatment for eating disorders. Mm. So, you know, what are your thoughts about how we can combat this? And what would be some first steps for women who are approaching, you know, 50s, 60s, and now are finding themselves at the gym and not eating any carbs?
My goodness. I almost want to say, stop with the Instagram. Stop comparing yourselves. I think we're all, no matter what our age is, doing this whole comparison deep dive. And we need to remind ourselves that everything that's posted on Instagram is the best of, not the whole of, the best of. Mm-hmm. And you know, we need a bouquet of beauty. We do not need just sunflowers. Knowledge of, you know, the whole array of beauty and say, okay, we will be only sunflowers. It would be a very, very boring life. Now, if we're going to compare ourselves to our neighbor, to our friends, that's also, you know, that is a futile battle. That will not result in good results for you. So the most important thing is to take responsibility back from corporate America. Please, I beg you. They've had too much rental property on your body for your whole life. Don't you think you want to have your own property back and live with it the way you want to live with it and listen to it, to listen to what it tells you instead of what you're being told through magazines, media, so on and so forth? It's just questions. This is rhetorical. And when you start saying, wait a minute, I really want to have dessert from time to time, and not say, ooh, I'm being bad. Well, you're not being bad. It's food.
Mm-hmm. You know? Not a moral issue to have a dessert.
No, it's not. And fat is a noun. It's not an adjective. It's not a verb. It's a noun. Really?
Talk more, Emmy, because, you know, I'm a social worker. So you've got the corporate America stuff and the rental stuff is like all in my, you know, that's just my, where I live. Talk about what that would look like for our listeners who are looking for whiteners and bleaches and everything to not look their age. What would that look like?
Well, I want to say that I color my hair. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I'm going to be the best person to talk about, you know, so I just need to be really upfront with that. Mm-hmm. And I, during pandemic, I had the joy of going all white. It was somewhat, it was fun. And then I work and I have bills to pay and all that kind of stuff. So I do color my hair. It doesn't mean that I won't go white or go truly who I am. This conversation can also go into surgical procedures and mm-hmm. injections. And I go to, you know, I'm asked to speak on behalf of the spa industry all over the place. And I have gone into the belly of not the beast, but of the situation where there are places where I speak about the holistic point of view where they do these injections. I want to have the counter conversation in these places. Not that I promote them, but I like to have what the you know, accepting oneself and not feeling like they have to manipulate and contort their bodies to feel like they fit in. So there's very, and I also say, if that is something that is going to make you feel more whole, I need to let you know that through my coaching work, I have coached a bunch of different people that are, that really have a hard time aligning with their identity as a Joanne, a Sue, a this, a that, with a new body that's been manipulated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. They don't think that that's what's going to happen. They don't think so. They buy into the myth,
the promise, right?
The promise, right? What happens is husbands go, "Oh, I really liked you before," and that's so cool. But if above all, do no harm, we've got to take that Hippocratic oath and bring it back to us, back to our own journey, mm-hmm. and say, "Where's the line? What is going to be enough? What are we enough? Why aren't we enough? How, what is it that's standing in the way of us feeling like we're enough?" And that is a deep journey that people want to leapfrog. It's the quick fix. It's that pill to give happiness and joy, where it's not really about the body. And it's really, with eating disorders, as you know, it's not about the food.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I had that experience. I was doing some evaluations for people before mental status before they went in to get bariatric surgery. And the psychological torment after losing 100 pounds or whatever is it's horrifying to watch. And it's
you work with them post as well?
I do. They'll often come back to me and say, "I don't know who I am anymore."
Yeah. Yeah.
And how come now people want to be my friends when they didn't before? And now I'm getting looks and I didn't before. What, you know, how do I reconcile this? I loved what you said about where's the line, because I don't color my hair, but I wear some makeup, and I saw you like Jones. Oh, and there are the dogs. You like,
I love Jones Road.
And I love their Miracle Balm. It's like that takes 20 seconds. And, you know, I look like I've slept, you know, a great night's sleep. And, but I also want to go hike my dogs. I also want to go play tennis. And I also want to make myself a nice breakfast. There's only so much time I want to spend in front of the mirror. But I, to your point, I do want to spend some time. So it's that, like, how do I make it work for myself, not what, you know, Kim Kardashian might recommend for me?
Well, she's not doing her own makeup, or she, you know, she has a team that just ascends and then go away. So it's a very different, you know, for us to have, you know, that kind of an image, it's really impossible. I you know, there's a lot of influencers and a lot of makeup artists. The artisans of makeup are like, "Oh, please, another influencer that's going to be slathering on the makeup and doing things that are so obvious." And it's not the artistic makeup that people, you know, the art of makeup. So yes, there is a line. There is a line to always needing to look prim, perfect, right, this, that, and the other thing. My daughter often is like, Mom, could you please just kind of look like a supermodel sometimes when I go out with you? Can you just do like what you do when you go, you know? And I giggle and I laugh because I am running around and there's a part of, I had to sit down. We were talking on our drive in San Diego last week and she goes, I sometimes think that you want to dim your shine so that you don't make other women feel like they, I go, whoa. I said, you know, what I do on air and that look that I do is like, you'll see me afterwards washing my face. And a girlfriend would say, I'd go out to dinner if I look like that. But that's what I do. That's what I do. And I think that, in relationships too, it'll be very interesting when I meet, when I start getting out again and meeting men, like what line is it that they're expecting from me? The hiking, swimming, adventure girl who loves to camp in 5-star hotels and that can put on a dress and do the, bring out Emmy. Like how much of that are they looking to do? Because I'm listening and watching because I've had experience where it's like, not the second date. That's not happening with this one. Too much appearance, too much forward facing, look what I have kind of thing. And
I can't imagine what the complications must be dating as a supermodel. I mean, that adds an entire level of I would think. That's a whole different world than most of us have entered.
Different. And, you know, it's a little different. I don't introduce myself as Emmy. I introduce myself first date always as Melissa. Mm. Always. Mm-hmm. Just because it's me. That's my born, you know, Melissa Owens Miller. That's how I was born. That's me. And then if there's a second date, then that's when I will explain to them about my, and you know, it's really weird. Like you would expect when a man says, yes, I'm a CEO or I'm a inventor of blah, 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 or whatever. It's like, oh, wow, how cool. But when a woman says that they have a history like this and has, you know, national exposure or like.
You might recognize me.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you know, and I was at a nice. First date with this gentleman. It was going along okay. And then I'm telling you, 3-4 women would pop over that I didn't know. Hey, Em, how you doing? Good to see you. And then, oh, it's so good to see you. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I wonder what this guy's going to say. And he turned to me and he goes, what are you, the fucking mayor? Excuse my French. And I'm sorry for cursing, but that's
what
he said.
You're fine. No, we're fine.
And he said, and I go, oh, I know where I'm. Ooh, that struck a chord in him. And I thought, okay, no second date. In fact, thank God I didn't show him where I lived.
Cross that one off. Wait, yeah. People really show you who they are.
Well, yeah. And these ladies were just so sweet and yummy and true, like happy. Hi. So it can be interesting. But then it takes that person who is really self-assured, has really done a lot in their life, that supports the women in their family and doesn't see that they have to be the one that is the focus or that has the career. I never, ever thought that I'd be in this situation. But would I change the work that I do? No. Mm-hmm. I just know the right person will see it as such a beautiful thing instead of it being a detriment.
I just so appreciate all what you bring. Where can people find you? You're doing quite a bit of charity work. You're still doing things at Syracuse University.
Yes.
Doing your
Fashion Without Limits.
Fashion Without Limits. How beautiful. And you have a beautiful website and I know
Thank you
have a coaching practice. So where's the best place for people to find you?
Oh, absolutely. For coaching, you can go on to Emmy Style, emmestyle.com. And I have a coaching tab. You just tap, you know, click it and go there. On Instagram, if anybody follows, please follow me there. The Official Emmy
Okay.
And then for the foundation, and where you can find information on Fashion Without Limits, and it's 8 years with Syracuse, we're going to be expanding, and they've really done a great job. That is truebeautyfoundation.org. We would love all visitors to just go and say hello. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh my goodness. So fun. Well, it's been an absolute honor and pleasure to speak with you, Emmy. I'm so glad we were able to connect, and I really appreciate what you've done for women. I have also spent a lot of years listening to the pain of women trying to, you know, do the unsustainable.
Thank you so much for joining us on Zestful Aging. If you like the podcast, please share it with some of your friends.
Thank you. Our music is courtesy of Judy Banker, who was a previous guest on the show. Find out more at judybanker.com. And our technical director is Steven Littweiler.
Hello, Zesties.
We live a joyful
life. Many of
life.
You know that I've been a psychotherapist for more than 30 years.
For sure. And that word comes up a lot in
but
your interviews.
What you might not know is that I'm also a midlife
joy.
Coach, and I help women like you clarify and design
thank
a life
you,
you want to live
thank
in your
Nicole,
second
wish
half.
You a, really wonderful
a life that's
day.
Vibrant and feels uniquely like you. Maybe you've spent your entire life caring for others in one way or another, and you're a bit stuck with how to move forward in this new phase of your life. Or maybe you're considering a career change or other big life transition. Or maybe you're in the middle of a life change you didn't see coming. You may be asking yourself questions like, who am I now? And how do I build a new kind of life for myself? Or how do I make the most of the time I have left? This stage in our lives is the perfect time to pause, recalibrate, and reassess where our life is heading and ask ourselves what deserves our precious time. Now is the time to focus on what brings you joy and a sense of deep, calm contentment. I love helping women discover who they are in addition to being caregivers. After our sessions, you will have a clear plan for making your life more vibrant and deeply satisfying. You will feel a sense of control because you will be making choices that are perfect for you. And you will feel more confident because you will have an individualized blueprint to follow. And because you're a Zestful Aging podcast listener, I'm offering a special package deal. Contact me at zestfulaging.com right through my contact link. Time is truly precious, and there's no time to waste.
And stay tuned next week for another interview with a fascinating and inspiring guest.